Today on Real Radio.
In verse 17 and 18, we learn this, that this man's problem is that he was self-wise. He was self-wise in his own opinion.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a parable that's found only in Luke's gospel. It's the parable of the rich fool. It was told by Jesus when he was asked to step in and help settle a financial dispute. Now, this parable is chock full of wisdom, addressing how we are to have a more eternal perspective when handling what God has given to us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, with more in a mini-series called The Parable of the Rich Fool.
Why do bad things happen to good people? C.S. Lewis said the reason why bad things happen to good people is because there are no good people. We all have our angle on things. C.S. Lewis's the more amazing question is, why do any good things happen to anybody? So I don't believe in God because there are bad things in the world. Then how do you explain all the good things? Ground opens up and swallows people. Tsunami sweeps cities away. Volcanoes blow up and destroy people. I understand that. And by the way, the Bible answers all those issues too, by the way. But how do you explain the amazing feats of love and compassion and heroism and faithfulness and deeds of remarkable love done? How do you explain that? By the way, you cannot have the presence of evil. Evil is evil. Did you know that evil cannot exist? There would be no evil. You cannot define evil. Evil could not exist unless good existed. You ever think of that? Think of it. Go ahead. That's wrong. How do you know what's wrong? The only way you know what's wrong is because you know what's right. Nobody should do that. Then tell us what people should do. And you'll have an opinion. Where do you get that from? This man is wealthy because the ground produced, and honestly, that freely came from God. But he's got no room to think about God. And we live in a culture, we live in a world today that is so busy, you fill in the blank. It's so this, it's so that, or just overall busy, or self-absorbed. I can't think about God, says our world. We need to be very careful. Regarding origins, in Matthew 5, 45, there the Bible says, for he makes, Jesus says, he makes the sun, listen to this, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God is so good. Church, listen, God is so good. Imagine, if God wasn't as good as he is, think of the world, think of the God that you and I would create and the world that you and I would create. It would look like this. Are you a believer tonight? Are you?
Yes.
Then there would be sunshine about this 5 or 6 foot parameter around me, shining, and then every so often, there'll be a nice refreshing rain. And then right next to me is an unbeliever. And it's cloudy and funky, you know, like Seattle every day. And he's depressed and it never rains on him. And all the blessings are over here and all the curses are over there. But see, I know Jesus and that guy doesn't know Jesus. Isn't it amazing that Jesus blesses the believer and the unbeliever? You say, why would he do that? Well, first of all, don't get too excited because there was a day when you and I were not believers. He's very good all the time. And make note of this as we walk through this parable, is that the Bible, in the entire nature of the scriptures, nowhere does it exalt poverty and condemn riches or vice versa. Did you know that? So again, don't think it's about the rich fool, and he's a fool because he got too much money, turned into an idiot. That's not it. It's not it. The second thing we see here in verse 16 is that this man failed to think of design. He failed to think of design. Everything that you and I have in life is a given. That is, it's a gift given. And it says that that ground yielded plentifully, abundant crops for this man. And you think about the engineering of God. You think about the design of God. In the parable, the man had no room for thoughts of God. And yet, the more this man is going to advance in life, look, the more he's going to grow up, the more education he's going to acquire, the more, let's say this, the more he experiences, and maybe even the more wealth this guy gets to himself, he's failing in this parable, a dangerous warning. He failed to think of design, that somehow there is a master planner, a master worker behind it all. And to not insert God into your day-to-day thinking of life, no matter what you're doing. Listen, I know there's young people in here tonight. Your math class, or your geography class, or your civics class, your engineering class. It's very important that you get the right answer, I think, right? Is it? I mean, I know I'm in California, but are we required to have the right answer anymore? Kind of? Close. Kind of. That's why we don't build Mercedes-Benz. You can't get close. There's a purpose for exactness. God's exact. God is very specific. Look at you. Look at us. He's very specific. How does he do what he does, by the way? Look at us. We're humans. We're all the same, but we're totally different. Isn't that wild? Think of that. All that evolution, it's really something, isn't it? No, it doesn't work like that. The uniqueness, the amazing work of God. And you think of the mathematical powers that God does. Think about it. Every, second. It's awesome. Design. Now look, if you do not have God in your thinking, then that's the foundation, in my opinion, of paganism. Now, you can label paganism in all kinds of actions, right? Paganism. You say, well, wait, paganism is a religion. Yeah, I know, but the gods that pagans believe in, they're man-made gods. That's what's fun about the God of the Bible. He's not man-made. And when we're talking with others who don't believe in God, they might believe that everything's an accident, everything evolved. When you let them talk long enough, inevitably they are going to get to this. They think it's an absolutely brilliant question they're going to ask you. And I want to, if you haven't heard it, I want to give it to you first then. They're going to eventually think, okay, man, this is going to knock this Christian off their feet. Here it comes. Well, who made your God? That's a big deal to them. Because our argument is, see, we'll talk to them and we'll say, look around, everything has a designer. Everything shows fingerprints of design, of purpose, of plan, of thought, of idea. And in their little moment of inspiration, they'll say, okay then, taking your logic, who made your God? Well, this is the beautiful thing about being a Christian. The God of the Bible is not a created God. He's never been created. He's always been. He's spirit. That ought to freak you out for a while. He's spirit. He made the physical existence of things, the Bible says. He says, I made those things, he says, from things that you can't see. And the things that you and I can't see, the atoms floating around here, bouncing around, going every which way. He said, I made those things that you can't see. You keep peeling back the onion. I made those things with my word, logos, my design. See, as Christians, we do not worship a created God. It's very exciting. And I wanted to throw this in just to shake things up tonight. Did you know that environmentalism is pagan worship? Did you know that? I'm not talking about taking care of the environment. I believe, by the way, just for the record, the Christian should be the best custodian of the planet. Why? Because our God made it. But do we worship it? No. We're supposed to use it to the advancement of mankind. God said to do that. He said, have dominion over it. And use it for bettering your life. Environmentalism is the worship of the creation. We don't need to go to the book of Romans chapter 1, but read it later. God answers them. God answers those who worship nature. And environmentalism is a religion, a pagan religion, because it assumes, by the way, that humans, even to the point of the death of humans, must sacrifice themselves to preserve nature. And that's paganism. The next thing is economic paganism. You ever thought about that? The worship of materialism and wealth. That's paganism. There's a sense this day, or in this age that you and I live in, that from what I've been gathering and watching over the years and the fruit thereof, or the lack of the fruit there, the lack of effectiveness, these buzzwords and trends that pop up, social justice. There's a handful of people who invented this social justice argument from ancient writers of old and have made millions, if not billions of dollars off of the world, and nothing's changed. They'll create an argument, they'll host a big conference, they'll write a book, they get paid $50,000 an hour to speak at events, literally. They're managed, $50,000. And their platform is social justice. If you really believed in that message, why don't you give that movement $50,000 an hour and get some work done? If you just follow the fruit of things. You guys, just this, did you see the news a week and a half ago that the founder of, was it the Sierra Club or Greenpeace? Greenpeace, the founder of Greenpeace. Has anyone ever heard of Greenpeace? Raise your hand. And the argument of the global warming issue and all this stuff, the founder came out and said, we built the whole thing on a falsehood. It was a lie. Did you see that in the news, anybody? Did anybody see it in the news? Look, that's my point. Raise your hand if you saw the interview with that founder of Greenpeace. Look at us. How many of us? There's 10 hands? If I were to ask you, oh, you know, do you believe in this? And do you believe in this is what's happening? And this, and then, do you believe? All the hands will go up, especially the young people. They've been indoctrinated in schools. Oh, absolutely. And then, listen, one of the key originators of it said, it was a farce. The data from the British laboratories that was doctored up because of global warming not happening. So they've fudged numbers. Go back from the Rocky Mountains all the way to the East Coast right now and ask people for the last 6 months if global warming's been happening. It's been the coldest winter, I think they said, in 60 years. My point is this. Watch out. This man had all these blessings, and including ground that yielded bountifully, and he missed it. The third thing in verse 16 is that he failed to think of goodness. Of goodness. That ground yielded and blessed him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, listen to this. Romans 2, 4 says, do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? The goodness of God leads a man to repentance, to change his mind. Isn't that neat? Isn't that sweet? Think about it. Oh, God just wants to beat me up. He doesn't say that anywhere. It says right here in Romans 2, 4, he wants your eyes to be open. He wants you to understand his goodness in your life. You got to pick now. You're going to have to choose that. We all have badness in our lives. Pain, hurt, sorrow, whatever. I don't know. As a human, we need to focus on everything, not just one thing. If you focus on all the bad, you'll never see any goodness. God says, I show you goodness. Isn't it amazing? God says, look around at the good things I've done in your life. Find them, because that's been me reaching out to you. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Goodness. You got to nurture that in your life. Psalm 103, verse 2, nurture that. Make that verse part of your life. I'm dead serious about this. Memorize that verse. Watch what his truth begins to do to your heart. Especially if you're known to gripe about things. If you're a grumbler, don't raise your hand. If you're a grumbler, I don't like that one. It's too bright. It's too dark. It's too loud. That's too soft. You know the Goldilocks syndrome? Memorize that verse. You know why? Because God's word in you, literally, this is no joke. God's word in you begins to affect your thinking, how you hear things, how you see things. For real, I'm not joking, for real. You take the word of God in your life and you start to memorize it, it affects how you see things. And it affects how you process things that are going on around you. We have a pastor here on staff. He has an amazing heart. Many of you know, hospital bed. If you're sick, Pastor Chris is going to be there. I mean, he's like 911. He beats the ambulance. I don't know how he does it. He's amazing. And, you know, somebody might say something like, well, you know, I can't believe I got a flat. My car! And because Chris deals, he's just dealing constantly verses of hope to people, he'll just come right back at you and say, well, you know, thank God that you have a car that could have gotten a flat like that. Well, I don't know, I can't seem to lock the door on my house. I don't know what the world's coming to. What's going on here? Anyhow. And he would come right back at you and say, you know what? Thank God that you had a problem trying to lock the door to your house because there's homeless people today. Are you hearing that? The word of God in you affects how you perceive things. If you are very anemic on Bible, if your Bible exposure is Sundays and Wednesdays, then you're anemic. If we draw blood from you, it's like water spiritually. And listen, if that's true in your life, you know it's true in your life when everything upsets your cart. And there's nothing good. Somebody says, look at that. It's probably going to break any minute. It's like, oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, what a nice day. It's a little too warm for, and it's like, oh, for crying out loud. You wonder how they're going to do in heaven. Those angels. I don't know. Isn't that weird? Anyway, the Bible says in Psalm 13, verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Sing. He says, I will sing to the Lord. Because he's been really bountiful with me. All of us can say that. The second thing is this, and we'll go as far as we can. We'll have to wrap it up soon. But in verses 17 and 18 is that the parable of the rich fool teaches us this, that God was not in his plans. Of course not. How could God be in his planning when God's not in his thoughts? This is convicting in a moment here. We look at our own lives. How many of our plans go astray? Well, I don't mean you to respond that loud. I'm just listen. Some guy goes, my life, it's never working out for me ever. Well, here's the deal. The reason why the plans don't work is because God's not in the plans. And that's because God's not in the thoughts. Why? How is that? In verse 17 and 18, we learn this, that this man's problem is that he was self-wise. He was self-wise in his own opinion. This is very dangerous. We have to be very careful because I would think anyway that we're taught and we're raised that we can do this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Rich Fool. It's a very close look at this section of Scripture known as Luke chapter 12, The Parable of the Rich Fool, part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to let you know about an event coming up here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and who better to tell us about it than Pastor Jack himself. Now, Pastor Jack, you and I have a lot of fun here on the radio chit-chatting back and forth, but when it comes to worldview, we get serious. This is a serious topic for you.
Worldview is my thing. And believe it or not, my friend, it's your thing. Every bit of your thinking is based upon the worldview that you have formed.
Yeah.
It could have been a worldview that knowingly or unknowingly you formed because you grew up in a home of atheism,
yeah,
or religion or Christianity or nothingness. But you have a worldview. And listen, today more than ever, I believe that we're mandated from the Bible, and I can prove that, where not only should the Christian and the church have a biblical worldview and really be public about it.
Yeah.
But sad today, one of the great things that's killing the church today is many of you may attend a church where the ministry that you're involved in, the church that you go to, they don't even address worldview issues.
Yeah.
Worldview issues like racism in light of the Bible, homosexuality. What does the Bible say about such things? And what about social justice or some of these things that are really reshaping,
right,
the way some Christians are thinking? We need to get back to the Bible, and that's why we're having this conference called Engage. Listen, it's gloves off, no goofing around, taking the Bible and infusing it into your life so that you would leave this conference being able to answer honestly, lovingly, with a biblical worldview, the challenges that you deal with every day.
So many times I get into a conversation, I go, where do I go from here? So let's get people out to this Engage conference,
yeah,
so you can learn how to talk to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every single day on a normal level. It's Friday, July 17th, 6:30 to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Saturday the 18th from 9 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon. Who's going to be with us?
Well, some really good speakers. One of them is a guy that just every time he opens his mouth, I just I'm impressed, and that's Frank Turek.
Okay.
Many of you may have already heard or seen Frank Turek do his thing. And when I say do his thing, Frank is such a gifted speaker and defender of the faith. His logic, his reason, again, his biblical worldview,
yeah,
is so powerful, and I want everybody to really hear him argue the biblical truth. You know, we've got Jeff Myers with us, who is the founder and president of Summit Ministries, a life-changing work that he's doing. Just a great word is going to be coming from Jeff. And listen, some of you have heard of a gentleman who's running for president.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ted Cruz.
Right.
I've had the wonderful opportunity to meet Ted Cruz on numerous occasions back in Washington, D.C. I've heard him give some amazing Bible devotions. Ted Cruz, mind you.
Yeah.
Well, he's not speaking.
All right. His dad, though.
His dad is.
Yeah, I love this guy.
Let me tell you something. Rafael Cruz will blow your mind.
Yeah.
You will see why Ted Cruz is such a good man of integrity when you meet his dad.
Yeah.
Come on out and hear Rafael Cruz. And then we have with us Alan Schlemann, who's from Stand to Reason, a great ministry, able to argue the defense of the faith, the accuracy and reasonableness of God's word in our culture today. Davey, personally, I tell you what, I mean, this is such a great event. There's no fee. We've got some generous people who've made it possible,
yeah,
for this thing to be free. Okay.
Can I throw in here real quick? Admission is free,
yeah,
but you got to register.
You got to register,
everybody. We want to make sure you have a seat. So just call us and get a hold of us. Tell us you want to be here. If you need more info, you want to register, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click on the Engage conference link.
Yeah.
It's real simple. We'd love you to be here, and we need to know that you're coming.
And bring someone with you. Space is limited. We have 3,000 seats, so come on out.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.